It's Beertember at Thirsty Camel. Hump Club members can take $10 off any slab of beer. Join and redeem. ThirstyCamel.com.au.
5, 4, 3,
assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Blown away by how hard we work.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I work my bone off.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Ah, look at it outside, will you please?
Magnificent.
20 degrees, the best city in the world, on fire.
Yep.
Prelim final weekend, everything is tickety-boo, if I can borrow something from HG Nelson. Tyson Goldsack in here.
Yes.
Looking forward to the sack. One of our great friends, of course, just re-signed with Collingwood and had a baby.
New dad.
I know. Yeah. So we can't wait for that. Midweek rub, second hour, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett, that's nice. I can see the quiz back.
Ooh.
I thought we'd seen the end of it. I thought we had seen the end of the quiz.
Yes.
I see it's back. Second hour. The old quiz master's over there.
Old revamp Brownless.
Oh, no. We didn't want to be better than it to finish last time.
Just call me revamp.
All right. And I can also see topics Brownless up the top. This is way too much for me.
Oh, am I?
On a Wednesday show. Hello to you, big boy.
G'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. And g'day to you, Leroy.
Ace Ventura, pet detective. How are you this afternoon?
All righty then.
Yes.
Gold.
Jim Carrey.
Golden.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Liar, liar, when he couldn't lie, Jim. That was...
Oh, well, I know. Leroy was just saying it's one of his favourites. No, it is,
yep.
He's just quite... Especially early on.
Yeah.
A couple of the later ones for Jim lost his way.
Did he do something just recently that was very odd?
Yeah, on the red carpet.
Yeah, on the red carpet. What did he do?
Just a weird interview.
Yeah, weird.
I like when he was down in the pool trying to find the diamond out of the ring. And he was giving it the, I'm a doctor, not a pool man. He's gold.
He is. Hey, look at this news here. Channel 7 AFL commentator and Triple M commentator, Brian Taylor.
Brian
has won the inaugural Lou Richards medal.
So he should. What's it for?
That's for is awarded to a former or current league footballer working in the media, Jim.
Ah, very good.
They've just brought that on, the awards last night, of course.
Well, if it's...
The media awards.
If it's also given out for people who are like the great Lou Richards...
Well, that's it. Personality, humour...
Exactly. Entertainment is part of what they do.
Yep.
Then it couldn't have landed in a better spot,
that's
because
right.
That's exactly what the big Brian's about.
I saw him.
Richly deserved.
Just see him last night on the... Open
mic. Yes. How did it go?
Yeah, it was good. Good. Actually, with the blank check that we spoke about,
yes.
That was Alan Bond had taken over Richmond. So he had a good 3 or 4 years at Richmond, of course. Then went to Collingwood, was on fire there.
Yes.
And then he got called into a meeting with Alan Bond and his son. They had a little chat, a little lunch. And then as he's walking out the door, Alan Bond's son gave him the check and said, you just fill it in.
Oh, no.
And Brian, I can't believe this bit, said, no, I'm happy at Collingwood.
Staying at Collingwood.
I can't leave. I can't believe that, Jim.
Well done. So we would have won a raft of awards, I imagine.
Well, I'm just looking down the list here, Jim. No. Terry Wallace won comments.
Yes.
Well, I like Terry. I work with
him,
of course.
A couple of vested interests.
Jared Wakeley won.
Yes.
He's a good man too, Jared.
A very good man.
Yes.
I like how comprehensively Triple M have been rewarded at those events over the years.
Hosted by?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Old Ears McGee. Tony Shebeki.
Oh, Brecky, was Shebeki.
He hosts it, Jim. He does a good job,
Shebeki. Very Shebeki. Nice. Did you go along?
No.
Oh, okay.
I tell you, did.
Weren't invited?
I never get invited.
No.
I tell you, did get invited. Go Our on. Girl, Bridge.
Bridge Duclos.
She went.
The top flight.
So we'll see. Well, I think we got her on Friday.
Good. We'll find out how she enjoyed them.
Exactly.
Nice. Well done, Bristol.
Bob Murphy was on SEN this morning, Jim. As you said, we're always going to say where
we
come
do,
from.
Yes, of course we
and
do.
He said trade talk shouldn't shock Stringer.
Ooh.
Yes. He said there's been a level of frustration for a couple of years, and you know after a poor year that change can happen. Saying that, I'm still a little surprised how quickly it escalated.
Right.
So that caught the former skipper on the hop, Jim.
Yes, yes.
Tigers. Do they stick with the team they've won with in that first game, of course, or do they bring in young Shai Bolton, who's been very good in the VFL, Jim?
I'd stay with what you got, given it's working as well as it is.
Well, exactly right. They have been their pressure. Gee, they've got a lot of little forwards, haven't they?
Yes.
There's a lot of them. Change at the Cattery.
Oh, yeah.
Simon Lloyd, who's been at the Cats for 2 years, director of coaching.
That's now, Lordo's brother.
Lordo's brother.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now he's got a new role. He's the general manager of football now, taking over Steve Hocking.
Steve Hocking.
So well done to Simon Lloyd. Very good.
And a good operator. Everyone tells you that.
Yes, exactly. So that is good down there. Good work to Lordo. The Blues are now Carlton. And we might ask our man Doherty when we've got him in today or tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I think more.
All right. Yes. We won't ask him.
I would
him
have
today.
Gone with him off the top. If
that's
he was
what I thought. I did, thought I didn't hear his name, Jim. Well, Jill told me we've got Sam Doherty on.
Yes,
I said, and I think you said, not another Carlton player. I said, Jim, it's good to have as many as we can.
That's exactly what I said.
Looks like Carlton have emerged, Jim, as a front runner for Devon Smith.
Dev Smith.
Cats might have gone a bit quiet because they're chasing another couple.
Yes.
Ablett, it's done. I've told you that. I told Jim, have I told you that?
Yeah, you did tell me that.
Yeah, it's done. And last night, did you watch the soccer? Jim.
Geelong going to end up with a draft pick in the next millennium, or are they just going to keep handing them out?
They just hand them out, Jim.
Not worried about getting any kids to come to the joint.
But they've got a boutique farm. With the best tomatoes and carrots you'll ever see.
I've got a theory on what Geelong are doing. I'd put this to Cookie if he was here.
Right.
I reckon you got that many father sons on the way because of yours being the next Oscar Brownless.
No.
But, and then don't be humble, a very talented young footballer. But, Bill, if you look at that 2007 Premiership team, I reckon there was something like eight players who have had sons in that team.
Ooh, yeah.
So I reckon what Cookie and Hock and now Cookie and Lordo, his brother, are doing is saying, we're going to have that many of them. We don't have to have a draft pick for 20 years.
Well, I think it's 10 years. These Scarlo and Mackie and
all those boys.
Of
them. Stevie, all of those. So they're all coming through. They're just going to say bugger
the
draft.
It does worry me about the draft picks, Jim. I'd like to have one early one. One early one.
Probably would, but Bill.
But having
said
that.
You're in a prelim, so who gives a stuff?
They swap Zach Tui for the first round pick, ours, Geelong's, for Carlton's second round. So at the minute, that's about... I'll work it out.
You'll work it out, Bill. So I'm not really sure what you're saying. But
well, if we get knocked out this weekend, that'll be about pick 14.
Yes.
And Carlton's first round is 20. So it's not...
First high second round. Yeah,
yeah, so that's
you're saying
bad.
It's not that much different.
Anyway, I just wanted to talk about the Matildas.
Go
They're
on, then.
Our best team at the minute, Jim.
Yes.
They are Australia's best team.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Brazil again 3-2.
Amazing.
17,000 people there to watch. They are flying. And Daniel Kerr's sister, she is a genuine star. She has now scored 7 times... in the last 4 international appearances, Jim.
A grader.
She kicked a goal last night, or what do they do? Put them through, back of the net.
Kicked a goal.
Where the spiders live in the corner there, Jim.
Yes,
And she did a flip. You've got to watch the flip. It's a forward flip. It was unbelievable. So well done to her, and they're flying the Matildas. That is all.
Nice, Bill. Well, nice comprehensive wrap.
Yeah.
I see here, Topics Brownless.
Yes. Well, Jim, I was reading an article.
Were you?
You know I like to read.
Yes.
Yeah, Heart Balm and Dear Dolly.
Oh, come on.
But I was reading an article on tradies, Jim, because we know a lot of tradies listen.
Nearly all of them.
I like to know, you know, where they're at nowadays and the new things that come online and things like that.
Yes.
And I read about an unusual job, right?
Right.
It's called caulking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I played some caulking good games, but this has got nothing to do with that, Jim.
No.
You know what caulking is?
No.
And we'd like to hear from a caulker.
Yes.
Caulking is often, what it says about it, Jim. Caulking. It's often not the tiler or the builder who does the final touches on the bathroom, laundry or kitchen these days, Jim.
Yes.
For airtight gaps and watertight rooms, a professional caulker.
A caulker.
With a steady hand is vital to finish off the room with perfection, Jim.
C-A-U-L-K-E-R.
Yeah, spelled strange. Yeah, that's it. And he obviously finishes it, Jim, so no more drips or it doesn't go through.
Right, waterproofs it.
Waterproofs it, yeah. So he's a corker.
Right.
So that's an unusual job, Jim.
That is an unusual job. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Jim. Where's this headed? Where's Bill? Bill,
Jim.
You cannot be going where I think you're
Jim,
headed.
It's an unusual job.
Bill.
Hence. 133353.
Oh, don't.
What is your job? Unusual.
No. Oh, no. You cannot do it.
What is your job unusual, Jim? That is an unusual job, Jim. I've never heard of caulking.
Well, I will agree with that. Yeah. I haven't heard of a caulker.
Or a caulker.
No, I'm with you.
Because we want to hear it. We all know that,
you can be a computer analyst or something. We don't give a stuff about them. Yeah. We want to know if you've got a job that no one's ever heard of.
Mm.
What is it?
Yeah, what
is
it?
A caulker. What the bloody hell's a caulker? Until you've just explained
it. Well, a caulker, he just finishes it off.
That's it, Bill. Watertight.
133353,
ring us with your job unusual.
Unusual, Jim.
Come on.
And our old mate here is a corker, Jim.
Yes.
And we didn't know what it was.
No.
And so we've and we found out. We did have a look up, and he just comes in at the end there and just
waterproofs the tile job in the wet areas.
That's what he does.
Well, let's ask Mick, because he's from Clyde North, and he may well be a corker. Mick.
Yeah, going JB, Fat.
Now, has Fat got anywhere near what you actually do?
Yeah, he's pretty close.
So what do you do?
Basically, we cork up bathrooms in between the tile junctions, floorboards, windows, architraves, make everything look pretty.
Look pretty and also waterproof it, or is the waterproofing already done?
No, waterproofing's already done, but yeah, we water seal everything around the tiles. Instead of putting your grout in the actual corner tiles, we just seal it up.
So, Mick, why can't the tiler do that?
Yeah.
I don't think they like to do that. It's a pretty tedious job.
Right.
But, you know, you can make good money on it.
Oh, nice. Why are you called a corker?
Because we basically cork.
Cork's the job, Bill.
I would have thought wine, wouldn't you?
We get paid by the lineal metre, so that's even better.
Nice. Oh. It's a different spelling, Bill. It's not C-O-R-K, it's C-A-U-L-K.
Different spelling, Bill.
So it's got nothing to do with wine. Well done, Mick. Thanks for that.
That's you. Wine, wine, wine. That's all you do.
Wine, wine, wine. Lockie in Frankston South. Lockie.
Hey, how you going?
What do you do unusual?
I'm a petroleum fitter.
Petroleum sniffer?
No.
Sitter. Sitter. What does that mean?
It's pretty simple. I just build fuel systems. So most common would be petrol station.
Oh, right. So they bring you in to get the lines all
ready. Yeah, all the tanks under the ground and the dispensers. And then we do like commercial stuff like, you know, bulk systems in like mines and commercial depots.
Oh, right. Yeah. How often are you, like, flat out doing it, Lockie? Are the jobs everywhere?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's one of them things where it's very small industry. But, you know, the jobs are all over Australia, so we travel a lot.
Good danger money, too. Do you smell like petrol?
Yeah, my mum's always complaining about the washing machine always stinking like diesel and clothes and everything stinks.
Right, I stay on the line like that. Ray in Roeville. Razor.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Bill wants to know what your job is unusual.
Yes.
I'm a qualified beer technician.
Which means you clean the beer lines.
I certainly do.
Which is a very important job. Oh. The best pubs have the best beer, have the best lines.
That is exactly right. So we change the industry standards. We're bringing the beer line clean up to a food grade standard with yeast being a food.
Yep.
And I get to come home smelling like beer every day.
Hey, Rosa, if you're in a pub that's flying, so in other words, not the Cremorne, but one that people go to and drink
the Cremorne,
a lot,
right? Yep.
Do they need their lines cleaned as much as ones like the Cremorne where there aren't as many people?
They do. They all do. They all need their lines professionally cleaned. So, Port of Marker all over it.
Hey, how good is the tank beer?
How good is it?
Mm.
It's crisp. It improves the aroma, the quality, the taste. Obviously, we're cleaning to food grade standard, so you can't get anything better than what we're doing.
Righto. Thanks for that, Rob. I'm not sure he answered your question, Bill, but he went his own
Ray,
way.
Hey, how good's the tank?
Gareth out there in Huntingdale. Gareth.
Gareth.
Gareth. Nah, it's Dallas.
Oh, fair dinkum.
These two out the back.
If that's the people's beard getting that wrong again. So what is it, Dallas?
Dallas.
Yeah, it's Dallas.
Dallas in Huntingdale. Yeah. What is it, mate? What do you do?
I'm a directional driller.
Which is?
I bore under roads and stuff like and trees and that. Wherever you can't dig, I bore, and we put in water mains, gas mains, power, Telstra, and all your services.
How'd you get to do that, Dallas?
I actually through a mate, really. That's the only way you sort of get into the industry. It's just, yeah, sort of who you know, and just sort of start as a labourer. And, Learn on the job, you know.
Don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, no, it's pretty risky.
Bloody oath.
A lot of stuff under the ground that you can hit.
So you're doing all these things at Domain Road, which is closed for 5 years. So you're doing that underneath?
No, we go underneath roads that are already in, you know. So they've got to put a new main under a road.
Righto.
So, yeah, they don't want to rip it up, so we drill under it.
Oh, nice one. Stay there, Dallas. Luke in Cooey Rup. Lucas?
Luke.
There you go, boys.
What do you do, Luke?
It's actually my missus, mate. She's a chicken bee beaker.
What?
Oh, no. What's that?
So when you go to the chook sheds and they get the brand new chickens in, about 7 days old, she quarterizes the beaks so the chooks can't hurt each other in the shed.
Oh, wow.
So they don't fight and peck each other.
Yeah, it can do about 1,000 an hour.
I'm going to say, when you look at the, where they're in there to do, you know, the
eggs,
and there's plenty of them, Lucas, that must take forever.
No, as I said, you can do about 1,000 an hour to do the beak.
1,000 an hour?
Like that point, yeah, so they just use a hot blade and whip them through and...
Debeak them. Pretty good. Take that to gym in here.
Nice one, Lucas. Stay there. Julian, now, this interests me, down there in Geelong.
Yes.
Jules.
Yeah, JB. Fuck, how are you?
Hey, Jules, what do you do down there in Geelong?
Corking company, Bill.
A corking company?
Cork to Simmons Stadium, mate.
Whereabouts? What did you do at Simmons Stadium?
All those precast panels and stuff, mate, where all the seats are.
Oh, magnificent.
Hey, it's where the ones that stop all the players and all the important people underneath getting wet, Bill.
Hey, Jules. Like me.
Yeah, JB.
Any danger of fixing the bloody lift?
Fair dinkum. Hey, JB, that was the last thing in. We had to walk up all the bloody stairs for the entire job.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they built an $85 million grandstand.
I did.
And you can't get the bloody
it on
lift.
To Letitia.
4,020 kilo boxes up and down those stairs, JB.
I'm feeling your
Jules,
pain, Jules.
How good are the lights?
The lights are terrific, aren't they, Bill?
They are, mate. See, people don't realise how good they are.
Yeah, no, because they've been in for 30 years in other places.
No, the shape
so
and
sort
the,
of don't realise
the
them.
Shape and design, Jules.
Yeah, all that, Bill.
Jules couldn't give a stuff about the lights. All he wants to talk about is cork. He's done a very good job of corking.
Bloody hell.
All right,
Jim.
So, Bill, not bad topics.
Yes, I like it.
Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission. And now, a message from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centered around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Goes across the face, the sack lights his chances from 50.
Sack!
Found his way through, and Gold Sacks kicked it, I reckon, three in a row to the Pies.
And now, Bill, last time our great friend Tyson, the sack, Gold Sack, was in here, he had his ass hanging out of his pants a bit.
He did.
First of all, didn't know whether he was going to get re-signed.
Secondly,
the baby was minutes away.
Yep.
And he wasn't quite as relaxed as he normally is.
Well, coming up against the Cats too, I reckon, wouldn't you?
That might have been the case. Wandered in now, tucked away a nice new deal, beautiful new baby Harriet. You're looking good, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a big month. There's no doubt about that. But, Harriet's going well, the little baby. We came up with a name eventually.
Yes.
Took us a couple of days since we had her. We just couldn't really.
What were the other names? Because I remember you saying that you had a few names.
Well, the other one was Greta. So that was Chelsea's name, Greta. And mine was Harriet.
Oh, you won.
Yeah.
Well done.
I recruited too. So even when we were in the operating theatre and I was asking the nurse, I said, what would you rather? And I would say, just vote for... Vote for Harriet and
they're both beautiful names. You couldn't have gone wrong either way.
No, exactly. But I think we chose the right name. But
you know, the interesting thing, Sack, on that front is I'm presume you're going to have some more.
It's been okay so far.
All right. So let's say in 2.5 years' time.
If I get the chance.
Yeah, exactly. 2.5 years' time, you have another one.
We'll hang on for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a girl. Interesting to see if your wife is as passionate about Greta the second time around.
Yeah.
Because we had four, and in the end we gave up because they were all boys, didn't even think about a girl's name for the last one. But the three were all going to be different girls' names. We'd abandon them by the time the next one arrived.
Well, it's a funny way, because we had a shortlist, but... There was a couple of names that she really liked that I just scrapped straight away.
Right.
Didn't even give it the time of day. So Greta was kind of one of her top ones that I actually considered.
Half.
So then because Harriet got over the line, Chelsea mentioned something. Hopefully she forgets and she's not listening. If we have another one and it's a girl,
it's her turn.
Is the name. And she and I have no say. So
fair enough. I'll
tell you what you do.
So we're voting for a boy.
I'll tell you what you do or get is a newfound respect. For the other half, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Chelsea has huge respect for me.
For what they go through and...
It's spot on. It's amazing. And she was amazing through the whole process. Even from the time that we knew we were pregnant all the way through, she never complained much. And even now, she... Yeah. She's doing a great job.
But I was talking to Tunnelcliff, our producer on the weekends, big, massive-nosed Lucas, about his beautiful wife, Amy, and they've just had their second. And I said, how's the sleep going and all the rest of it? He said, oh, look, it's, you know, not too bad, but there are nights where it's no good. And I said to him, isn't it amazing? It's almost awe-inspiring that with the women how it's like an adrenaline kicks in.
Yeah.
Their ability to cope with virtually no sleep and getting up and down and feeding. And I remember watching that thinking, that is actually extraordinary.
Yeah, it is quite ridiculous because, I mean, we've got a little technique, or it's a set program where I'm doing the later night feeds and Chelsea does from about 11 p.m. onwards. No, from about, she does like from kind of 5 o'clock onwards, but even through the day, she's not tired and I'm just walking around like a zombie.
It's
nights.
It's nuts.
If I haven't had my 7 hours.
What's her middle name, by the way?
Margot is her middle name.
That's a lovely name.
Spelled
too.
M-A-R-G-A-U-X.
Yeah. So there's a
Margox.
There's a lovely red wine called Chateau Margot, one of the best in the world. And so hopefully, well, the plan is if you give her a name like that,
someone's going to give you a bottle.
And it gives you a reason to drink it. So we know that Chelsea's dad has a bottle of Chateau Margot at home. So
nice.
But cracking up. He said 21st. I said, no, you don't want to give it that long. Maybe first birthday. Yeah. So we go.
That's a Bordeaux, I think. So you're going to get it to last.
And the next one will be something Grange, no doubt.
Then you're a chance.
Grace.
Then you're back. You're a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, well done on the deal, too.
I'll have to give her the whole bottle, Bill.
Well done on the deal, Sack. You deserved it. You played good footy this year, but you would have been toey, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, especially with with the new baby. And you just need that security and just want to know what's going on next year so you can plan accordingly. So, you got the 1 year and, it was good. It kind of a little bit of to and fro about what we thought we deserved. And in the end, we're just happy to sign. Like I love Collingwood. Everyone is aware of that. So in fact, I can go around again for my 12th year now. It's good.
A few changes there. Matty Boyd, he'll be a great pickup, I reckon, at Collingwood.
Yeah, he'll be great. I've met him a few times along the journey and just seems like a really honest guy. And knows. And it's good to have outside influences coming in and giving fresh ideas and knowing different ways of doing things.
Mason Cox, 3-year extension.
Yeah.
Oh, Coxie's done well.
Yeah, hasn't he just? And Brody Grundy got 3 years too, I think. I got there a bit late. They beat me to it. There was nothing left in the end.
What other changes are there? There's a couple of assistants. Have they moved on?
So Scotty Burns has moved on. So he's gone to Hawthorn, which is a shame. He was really good, but and he'll be really good there.
Yeah.
Anthony Rock has been given the flick, actually. So he's gone. He had a good run.
Yeah.
While he was in. And he was good. Good for our big guy, so he did a lot of the ruck work. I didn't work with him much, obviously, but just good to have an ex-player stay around the club like he did. Yeah, it's really good. And we've got Tarkin Lock there as well, so just kind of good to keep a little bit in-house as well.
Mm. All right, we're going to ask you what it's like to be involved in prelim final week, Zach, because you've been involved in plenty of them. That's next.
Still joined in studio by Collingwood defender Tyson Goldsack.
Yeah, we were just talking before with you, the Sack, about prelim final week, and you've been involved in plenty of them with the Maggies, especially... You would be able to empathise and really sort of connect with what these Richmond players are going through because Collingwood, equally massive club come this time of year. Collingwood fans everywhere love the fact that you're in a prelim. And these players, everywhere they go, they'll have people piling into them.
Yep. On both sides of the ball too, they'll have the ones that don't want them to make the granny and there's a lot that do. I think I saw that they sold out today for this game. So
both games.
Massive game. We played, I remember 2007. We're going a long way back now, but that's how far I have to go almost.
Yeah, well, let's talk about finals. 2007. Oh, well, yeah, right. The prelim, yes.
Never listen to this. We're not talking
still
about
2010, though. Actually.
No, 2007.
2007
was
my first year, and we had a good year. Beat West Coast in the draw over there.
Yes. Away.
Had the flight back and then played Geelong on a Friday night in front of 98,000. And we went down by 4 points.
Geez, a good game, wasn't it?
It could have gone
either way.
Yeah, look at this tool.
And Brad Ottens had an unbelievable game. But, geez, that was the most tense. I had a record, Jim. I hit it that many times. There was no record left. It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
When the person in front of you? We had it in our front 50 when the sign went. So we were pretty close to snatching. I think that Geelong went on to win the premiership.
By 19 points.
Yeah.
So whoever won that game was going to win the grand final.
But the lead up to finals, and the air changes. The grass gets that smell. So you go into training, and it's a lot more fun training in 25-degree weather than it is in 5-degree weather with the rain blowing sideways.
School holidays, kids everywhere.
Yeah, it's perfect. They come out and come for autographs, and you actually want to get around them, and Love the support.
Nothing worse. You're running late and you pull scream into the club. Kids just get around your car and you can't even get out, Jim. You're going, oh, I'm running late, boys. No, I'll sign this.
That's just because you're a superstar, Bill. It doesn't happen to me.
Oh, rubbish. Goldie,
so who's winning these games, Sack? Who do you like Friday night?
Last week I tipped Sydney and I tipped West Coast. So the two teams that I tip won't be very happy with me, but I think Adelaide wins at Adelaide.
Good.
All right. And
GWS Richmond?
I don't want Richmond to win, but I do because I love seeing on...
They've got to be there.
You have a big team on grand final day again. Yep. It's just so exciting. So for football and for AFL, I hope that Richmond wins.
How would it be if it was Adelaide Giants grand final?
It would be less exciting than it would be if Richmond were in there.
Just on the Adelaide side, a few of those blokes haven't played for about 2 years, or 30 days. Sloane, Walker and Talia.
Yep.
As a player, do you want to play week in, week out?
It's tough because you want to get consistency in match fitness. So to kind of play and then miss and then play again, you kind of lose that. It's the top end. It's the 5% of the match fitness that you lose, and you can't really make it up with training. But in the same breath, you don't get the niggles. So you don't have corkies. You don't have sore joints going into a game. So I think in the last quarter, you're probably better off because you're a little bit fresher and I don't know. It's tough. You can see it from both sides.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt.
I tell you what, Bill, I have to drive through Richmond a couple of times a week. That place is unbelievable. Every shop front, it's just gold.
Which is good. I love that. And I've been doing some thinking, and this is outside of football, but in sport worldwide, I've kind of tend to find a favourite in sport and barrack for them, whether it be motorsport or whatever. And now I've changed my thing. I just want to vote. I want to support Australians. So Daniel Ricciardo in the F1s. I used to like Nico Rosberg, but now I'm like, no, I'm going to support the Australian in pro cycling. So Orica Green Energy, Australian team. So I think there needs to be more of it. We look at the Irish and how well the Irish do it. And we almost envy the way they support their own.
That's right.
Why can't we be more like that? We almost want to bring down the top guys and, We're all four underdogs, but when someone's at the top of their game, we need to keep supporting.
Yeah. You watch the Matildas then?
Yeah, watch Matildas. I've watched Kerr do her backflips after she scores, which is sensational.
She's got a name. Her name's Sam.
Yep.
As Donovan told me. Daniel Kerr's sister. She has a name, Billy. Samantha. Poor boy, you. So it's Samantha Kerr.
Sam Kerr. Sam Kerr because we're mates.
And I love your example, by the way. I think more of us should do it. Golf, for me, is the classic example of that.
Yep.
We are very critical of Adam Scott. We're very critical of Jason Day because they don't win more. And I say to people, have you any idea how hard it is to win a tournament on the USPGA Tour?
Yep.
They are 140 of the best players who play the game in the world.
Yep.
And the whole globe.
And when they're number one, we're like, how good is that, they're number one? But we don't continue to... Like, oh, he should have won. He's number one. Yeah. How about we support him when he gets to number one?
It's nuts. Just no concept most people have of how difficult that game is anyway at that level. Secondly, when you're in the top two or three in the globe, it's just a phenomenal thing. And Mark Leishman winning on the weekend, the Warrnambool Flyer, of course, just brilliant.
Let's get around him.
A bit like Bill.
Imagine Adelaide, Richmond...
Yeah,
grand final. And Adelaide, if you go across there, they're like the Richmond supporters, but in Adelaide, they don't think there's 17 other teams over now.
No.
I think it's just the Crows.
Oh, and they know Port.
They hate them. Yeah, because they hate them. Yeah, but they...
I'm just reading off Twitter here. What's your all thoughts? So this is Mason Cox.
Oh, yeah, makes sense now.
Thoughts on changing my number or sticking with 46? Currently debating. Well, we couldn't really give a stuff.
Stay with it. I'm big on that.
You reckon he should.
So whatever your number that you get when you walk into the club should stay with you.
46 is high.
It's a great number.
But he's got a big back. He's a big unit.
You need two numbers.
Benny Brown's number 50.
If he had number one, it would just be like a really long streak on his back. It wouldn't look right.
What about number six? Why did you go with six?
When Mick was coaching, I had 38, and I liked 38. The position in the lockers, it was just right. We had a nice little corner. And then Mick just pushed me into it. He goes, you can't have a high number. Good players don't have high numbers.
Mick?
I said, yeah, that's why I'm staying at 38. But then in my second year, six came up and three came up, and J-Mac was around then and at the same club, and we just agreed that he can have three and I'll have six, and it all just kind of worked out.
Look at the danger. He wears 35, and last time I checked, it doesn't affect how he rolls.
No. Imagine how good he could be if he was in single figures.
Smaller. Exactly.
I say stay with it, Bill. I'm a high number man. Yeah, Sean Wren, 52, nah. Whatever he was.
If you're comfortable, because when you first walk into a club, you're just given the number.
Yep.
So unless if you make it your own, it's okay. But if you're not that comfortable with it, but he's had it for a few years.
Johnny Platton, 44.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, Bill. Stay with
Justin Madden. Yeah, well, so you remember those blokes.
They weren't bad players.
But also, I can go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, but everyone wants
the best
players are
either 3, 4, or 5.
Or 6.
Or 16.
Or what about Danger? Best player in the game, Bill.
35.
Oh, there you'll make that one exception.
3, 4, 5, 16, 35.
Are you changing Nappy's sack and doing all the hard stuff?
Yeah, I am. I was thrown to the deep end day one because we got Harriet back to the room and the nurses leave and then it's Chubb's like, we should dress her. I'm like, yeah. Of course you'll dress her. That's what you do to a newborn, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
So had to dress her and change her. And yeah. I mean, at the moment, it doesn't smell. There's no smell at all,
right.
Which is beautiful.
That will change.
Yeah, and so will my thoughts
smell.
On that.
And then you get around to my age and it stops smelling again, Bill.
Funny how that we come into life
amazing,
and
isn't it, Bill?
Shit ourselves. And then when we finish, we do too.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a funny one.
As long as she returns a favour in the years to come, then...
That's it. Looks after Dad.
Looks after you.
Absolutely. Hey, mate, we couldn't be happier for
good
you. Beautiful new addition. As I say, the one-year contract richly deserved. Have a great grand final week. And everything that's coming up.
Will do. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell. Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. The Howie Games aims to bring you stories you haven't heard before, like this one from Melbourne Cup winning jockey, Jim the Pumper Cassidy.
I got the grey nurses, the $100 bills,
the big hundreds.
Changed into 20s, so and my mate said, what are you doing that for? I said, I'll show you. So we got back to the hotel room, pumped, took all his gear off, got the Melbourne Cup whip, tipped all the money on the bed, and for 1 hour I was literally just rolling in cash.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Midweek Rub, back half of this hour. Looking forward to that enormously. And I see old tickets, Brownless, old quizzes.
Quiz.
Ain't far away either.
Yes, Jim.
Now, social media feedback we love. The family getting involved. And we got some nice stuff here from Agent Chaos. One of our favourites. Been a family member for a very, very, very long time.
Yep.
Talking about players.
Yes.
Like Mason Cox, who wears 46.
Yeah, high numbers.
Does he come down to wear number 4 or something like that? I say no, you say yes.
Yeah.
Chaos says, Jimmy, two of my all-time favourite players, put Jake the Push-Up King,
yes.
Wore 28, and the Tip Rad Milne, 44.
44.
And they managed to get it done okay. Make your own legacy, says Chaos. I'm quite like that.
Thank you, Chaos.
I know you've got a winner. I'm going to get to you in a sec, but I like Duncan Wingrave. Did you see that?
What a dunk, say?
He goes, BT's award, and he's quoting me here.
Yes, I did like that.
So he should. What's it for?
Come on, Jim.
Finger on the pulse, Jim. Well, I'm not a media awards man, Bill. No. I've got no idea what happens at it, but I just back our man, the Bristle.
Darren Marks, I liked his, Jim. We're talking about unusual jobs. I'm a painter, and we have to chalk all the time. Not really unusual.
Cork, even. There's no H in there, Bill.
We have to cork. That would have been good. Yeah, nice. Something very strange happened yesterday. This is from Peter Mags.
Well, go on.
Peter Mags.
Another one of our favourites, Magsy.
1265. Something very strange happened yesterday. Bill's joke was funny. So funny, in fact, it was the first ever comedy gold.
Jeez, he's giving you comedy gold on the back
done,
of that joke.
Magsy,
I wouldn't have quite said comedy gold, but our winner?
And Matt McCarthy said, hey, Bill, what's going on the Cremorne Grand Final day?
Oh, no.
Down there for AFL Masters.
Rude,
I'll
you?
Tell you
just
what's happening,
to find that one, Bill.
I'm going to have... From the bounce of the ball to the first goal kicked, free froffies.
Right, Bill.
Free froffies.
How much money are you tipping into this station, by the way,
well,
to continually mention the Cremorne? Well, are you buying ads?
When you add up how much I should get paid and what I should get paid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Righto, here's our winner.
Come on.
Our winner for social media is Rebecca Doyle Walker.
Oh, Beck.
Rebecca _ DW. Underscores the little one on the ground there,
thank
Jim.
Thank you, Bill, yes.
My job unusual. Used to be employed to clean false teeth in a nursing home.
# grossest job ever.
Mate.
That's horrible.
Cleaning false teeth in a nursing home.
That's disgusting.
That is terrible. So Beck, well, you have won.
Triple M footy beanie.
That's
nice.
A terrible job, Jim.
That's a horrible job. Horrible job. Hey, Bill.
I had some questions for Goldie. Look at that. The beard had put together.
Yeah, no, nice ones too. In fact, I forgot to ask one of those. That was a bloody good question. And that is, which teammate... If the sack ended up getting into trouble and went into the clink,
yes.
Which teammate would he ring to get him out who we could trust not to tell Ed?
Oh.
That's a bloody good question. I forgot to ask him that. Who do you reckon? Get this thing of Collingwood's
not
list.
Not Jordan to go.
Just think of Collingwood's list. Big Grundy. Oh. I reckon Grundy would keep things to himself, the big ruckman.
Mason Cox, I reckon, too.
Cox, he'd be good. Smart man, although he is an engineer. He'd probably realise at some stage that he probably has to fess. That's a nice question. That we should keep that, actually, as a question to ask all the boys.
Keep those. Well done, Beard.
All right, nice, the people's Beard. We need to get to a song.
Yes.
Because it is the quiz next. All right, now, Bill.
Yep.
We didn't think we were going to get access to any tickets to this game on Saturday because it sold out.
Yes.
But we've got some.
How?
Because we know people.
Contacts. Yeah, exactly. Contacts, yes.
So, Bill, we have stumbled across tickets for today and tomorrow. We've got four to give away today. Four.
Four.
The thing sold out.
I know, Jim.
We got four.
Two doubles.
So what we're targeting is today, Richmond supporters.
Yes, please.
Tomorrow, GWS supporters.
Yep.
So today we want two Richmond supporters and callers. You always go with this, the legends.
Legends, Michael Roach, number 8.
Oh, big disco. We love disco. What about that clunky
talk? Oh, mate.
Seriously, and one of the greatest marks ever.
Exactly. And number 22, Barry Rowlings.
Barry Rowlings.
Yeah, at a
he
band.
He was a bloody good player too.
Is he 22? He's 22 at Hawthorn. I don't know if he's 22 at Richmond, but anyway.
Well, Kate, take caller number 22.
22,
well, I like that. Bill, so we'll get two callers on the
two
line.
Two Richmond.
And then you, Richmond. You've got to be a Richmond fan, obviously. And Bill, you are going to tell us how this works next.
Yes, Jim.
And Bill, I've just listened to a little bit of the preamble.
Yes, Jim.
This has got train wreck written all over it.
Revamp.
It's got Who Am I on here. Last time you did Who Am I, it crashed hard into a mountain.
Jim, revamp Who Am I.
All right, that's next.
Tigers, Giants.
FIFO Five Thumb.
A sold-out Triple MCG.
And it is just a cauldron of noise at the moment.
We've got your tickets. All you have to do is...
battle it out.
What was that, Bill?
Even battle it out.
It's the Rush Hour Quiz.
Now,
yes,
Bill,
Jim.
All I can see on this running sheet here
are
the words that basically send chills down any Rush Hour family member's spine.
What's that?
Who am I? Because the last one you went with fell as flat as the old Pup Carter's hat.
Well, Aussie Al, I'd love to hear the quiz, Bill, but I don't have 30 minutes. And another one, Jim, which I don't know if I can read out.
Yes.
Rod. The quiz is back. Goes to show you can't polish a turd.
Oh, no.
But you can roll it in glitter.
Well, you asked for caller number 8 after the great Disco Roach and caller number 22 after Barry Rowlings.
Yes.
So we got Sean from Plenty first. Shawnee.
Oh, Sean.
How you going, fellas?
Oh, you'd love these tickets, wouldn't you?
Oh, over the moon. I got on the other day on the internet trying to get through with your mate's MCC pass, and I was too late after 2 minutes.
All right. We didn't ask you how you've been going. But anyway, good luck today. And Paul from Pakenham.
Yes, mate. I'm here too.
Good on you, mate. So you're Paul, Sean, you're Sean.
And how's it working?
So it's Who Am I, all right? Hang on, Jim. And you got to guess who it is. Now, I'm an ideas man. I'll throw some questions to this Richmond player.
Right.
And they will answer it. You can jump in at any stage, but if you get it wrong, of course, the other bloke gets it right to the end.
All the rest of the clues.
Yes, I'd suggest you wait because the first couple are a bit hard just to get the quiz going.
So this is not Who Am I as in you're not reading it out
with
Sail of the Century style.
That's right.
This is the actual voice of a person.
Someone we might have interviewed, Jim.
Oh, I see.
And we've taken little snippets out of that. And I'm asking questions to the snippets.
You've changed it up.
I've changed it. Revamp. I told you it was a revamp.
Asking questions to the snippets.
That's it.
What sort of sentence is that?
You ready, Sean? You ready, Paul?
Oh, I've got no idea what's going on.
All right, well, when you think you know who the voice belongs to, scream out your name. But as Bill said, if you scream it out and get it wrong, then Sean gets every one of the rest of the clues.
No worries, mate.
All right, here we go.
Ready?
Yep.
Who am I?
I was a Melbourne supporter.
Well, all right.
Yes. That's all right. How many are in your family, Richmond player?
I've got 3 sisters and they're all currently living in the city.
Paul!
Oh, he's gone early.
Paul gone very early.
Oh, Paulie, you want to be right.
Meet Paul Prestia.
Oh, idiot.
Paulie!
Righto.
Well, Sean can just curl the mo.
Sean.
I was actually going to say that.
All right.
That's what we said. Don't go early like Paul has.
All right.
Bloody Bill.
My fault, is it? What school did you go to, a Richmond player, and do you play any other sports?
When I was a kid going through school, at Caulfield Grammar, I toured the UK playing cricket.
Any idea yet, Sean? Don't say it.
I'll hold on.
Where are you from, Richmond player? Shut up, Jim.
This place this bloke comes from. Well, what did you describe it as, Bill?
Well, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from here. No. It's Tattyoon, is it?
Tattyoon, mate, that's right. It's about 40 kilometres south of Ararat.
All right.
Any idea, Sean?
Yeah, getting closer, mate.
Right, okay, well, we'll keep going. Richmond player, you have had a bad run with injuries, mate.
I have, mate. I've had a pretty tough last couple of years, so... Hopefully it stays this way and I'll get a full season out.
Oh, check out the Chief and Damo playing along too. They don't know.
They got no idea. Look at Damien. He's got no idea. And
Chief's enthralled.
We've got you another one, Richmond player. What happened down at Port Melbourne Beach?
Awkward incident in the bay. Just stood on the body of the stingray and it barbed me on the inside of my left foot and... Yeah, left a foreign body in there, so I had to have surgery the next day, unfortunately.
Come on, Shawnee.
Shawnee.
I think I got it.
Who?
David Asprey.
Yeah!
He's getting trash talked by Paul.
Shawnee's telling Paul, he's saying, come on, Shawnee.
I was waiting it out. I didn't want to do it like him and go too quick and lose it.
That's right.
That's it. Paulie, we told you not to go off early.
Yeah, I know, mate. I know.
Oh, you fool's head.
Yeah, I know.
Shawnee's won the four tickets.
Four tickets to Saturday afternoon, Sean.
Can you take work off?
Oh,
I would hope you would.
Or do you want to give a couple to Sean?
To Paul?
The Paul.
Oh, no, I think I'll have four to give away.
No, he doesn't, Bill.
Sorry, Paul.
He's not giving any away. All right, very nice. Have we got anything for Paul?
No.
Maybe a wheelbarrow, I don't know.
We'll get you something, Paulie. Yeah. Hang on the line
good
there, mate.
Quiz. I like that way.
Not bad, Bill.
Yeah. Except I'm just going to have a chat to you, Leroy.
All of the rehearsing, you two, and then we get on air and completely
butcher it. Gone with that joke before, though, Bill. The
butcher it. Oh, I tell you, look at the two of you. All right, so Paul, we'll get you something. Sean, well done, mate. Thanks, Jim.
He's out there.
Good nicely quiz. Done for those two. Yeah, better. I didn't mind it, Bill.
Yeah,
so tomorrow we do the same with GWS.
We're the Giants. We'll see if there's any Giants supporters.
All right. Yeah. Yes, we need to find that out. Damien Barrett, Jason Dunstall, midweek rub next.
September.
What a September!
When Billy Brownless hits his peak.
It was,
And this year, he's so busy.
Very, very, very busy.
He needs you. The Rush Hours, Mr. September.
For TAC, drinking, driving, they're better apart. TAC, towards zero.
Bill's so busy, can't attend the big events. And when I say big events, I mean Brownlow, I mean Grand Final Footy Show, I mean Grand Final Eve Lunch, and I mean the big dance for the TAC. So... Mr. and or Mrs. September, we've had all the nominations. We're down to our top 16. Yesterday, we got the boys done. Today, it's the girls, like Suzette from Lavington, who says, unlike Bill, I can speak English. Like Bill, I'm a passionate cat.
Good.
Unlike Bill, I have hair. Like Bill, I like frothies. Well, actually, bubbles. Unlike Bill, I can represent Triple M without embarrassing them. And I'm prepared to wear a suit.
Oh.
Thanks for that, Suzette.
Good on you.
Cherie, I can wear a bald head much better than Bill. I can also tell better jokes. Like, how do you make a Kleenex dance?
How?
Put a little boogie in it.
Ah!
And then Caitlin Pendlebury. Nice to hear from you, Caitlin.
Yeah.
I'm a lover of quality banter, mingling, laughing, alcohol, Geelong Cats, talking rubbish.
Oh, good.
And am conveniently booked out every month past September. So that makes me a shoo-in.
She is a shoo-in. From Bendigo.
Bendigo, good girl. All right, for the TAC, before you kick off your grand final celebrations, work out how to get home safely, because drinking and driving are better apart. Tomorrow, we have the winner of the Mr. and or Mrs. September.
Ooh,
and that is a massive prize. All right, midweek rub time.
Now on Triple M's Russia.
They come from everywhere!
It's a beauty! This is the midweek rub.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to welcome Damo and the Chief into the room every week for the midweek rub. Hello, Chief.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and to all our loyal Triple M listeners.
Purple, hello, nice Chief. To see you.
Hello, boys. Chiefy.
Now, Jake Stringer.
Damien.
Now, let's get started with Jake Stringer. There's been a fair bit going on with him during the week and his management, of course. What's the absolute latest, Purple?
Just that he's, as clearly as we said this time last week, Jim, and even before that, that it is beyond the point of no return now. And that was made evident yesterday when Jake Stringer spoke and just said that he'd already been speaking to footy clubs. It's going to be a logjam to find players' new homes at the Cats, because Ablett is already going to go there. There's an interest in Devon Smith, and I believe Jake Stringer will also find his way to the Cats.
That's where he's going.
How are the Cats getting all this done, Warwick?
It's going to be difficult, Chief, because their first pick in this year's draft is actually Carlton's Second pick, which is, as it stands, it's 20. So that was part of the Zach Tui negotiation. So they moved back from their own pick, Jim, to Carlton's second pick, which in the end is not going to be a whole lot different.
No, but that's what I was saying to Jim. If you have a look at that pick for Zach Tui,
it's actually pretty good.
It was Geelong's
deal.
First pick, which could be 14 or 15, well, would have been. And they've just given up 5 picks for Zach Tui, really, haven't they?
Yeah, well, it could be 18, the way it stands, too, because they could win the premiership. Well, win the premiership.
Gave up Billy Smets as well, didn't they?
There was that element to it. Yeah. What are you saying there?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
You don't think that was much of a loss?
Yeah, of course. Oh. But great club.
I have a strong view, Chief, that there are so many father sons coming for the Cats in the next 5 years that they've given up on the draft.
Just make room for
it. That's just make room for Max kids, for whoever else is big Pilottons and whoever else has had boys.
Yeah, but there's a heap of them.
There are a heap of them, including Oscar Brownless. Chief, in they come.
Is that good? You ran a club. Should you give up all your picks? Or it'd be nice to keep a couple of round wonders.
Well, it depends on what you get. As long as you're getting the right... right age group of your recruits. I've got no problem giving up draft picks. If you're getting 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, even 22-year-olds, no problem at all.
What would you give
you're
up?
You're just getting a developed draft pick, effectively.
What would you give up for Stringer? Would you give pick 20? And would the Dogs like that, you two?
That's my reading of this year's draft, Bill, 20. But Chief's right. They will ask for more than that. But they're not going to get it below 10. And they might just have to take 20. It's too simple to just give up pick 20 to get him. The way the world works, it's not going to be that smooth. Right. So there'll be more around it. They might need a third party. They may need another player. They may need another pick. But that, to me, is the reading, because it's the Bulldogs who've actually gone out there and tarnished Jake Stringer's legacy, really. Yeah, the currency that he's got was diminished on the back of Luke Beveridge going public.
Essendon's have also said they've met with him.
Yeah, they have. They met with him. Adrian Dodoro admitted that yesterday, Jim. So they are the clear two front runners, as they have been from the 24 hours after it was made public that he's gettable. So he's had conversations with both. Collingwood had a chat, but I don't feel strongly that they're at the moment in the mix, Jim. But so yeah, I expect that it'll be Geelong or Essendon when it's all said and done.
Ken Hinckley, you suggested when you came in on, was it Monday, that you thought he would stay. Is he staying and everyone's happy?
Yeah.
How's it all now going to go?
It's been played out. Is that they're all happy? Yeah. Clearly, they blinked, didn't they, Port Adelaide? And they've got a right to blink on the back of the Gold Coast interest, which got very intense over the course of the weekend. And he played it beautifully, Ken. Got an extra year on top of the initial deal that they were about to put to him. So 3 more years on top of the one he had, Chief. So... he's there. I still look back at his record. Hasn't made finals in 2015 or 16. Didn't win one this year, and has now got 4 more years. It's a good outcome for him. For someone at a club who has always been on record as we demand success, Chief.
How do you see it, Chief?
Look, he's got a fantastic relationship with the playing group. They're very, very close. I don't think it's as big an issue whether he's great mates with the chairman or president or not. They'll come to some sort of working arrangement, which is fine, as long as, gosh, he doesn't start saying too many silly things about the football department. I think it's okay. So it's interesting. They always look to me like they're going to be a good team, yet they don't get there. And I'm not quite sure what the missing ingredient is.
A-graders.
Well, I think they've got a few.
Who? Robbie Gray, yes. Yeah. Absolute.
Right up.
Well, Dixon's an A-grader.
Dixon, A-grader.
Wingard, A-grader.
Finish well, Dixon.
Wingard, you don't rate?
He's dropped off a bit, hasn't he, the last couple of years? Ryder, I'll give you. There's two.
There's question marks over people like Hartlett, though, aren't there, in the big deals that they signed? And
Boak was probably dropped off a little bit.
No, he's not.
I think Ebert's a really good player.
Not an A-grader.
No.
But I would argue that Charlie Dixon's recent body of work puts him in the A-grade power forward category.
Oh, well, maybe if he can do it next year, yes.
Well, Bill, they listen to Bill. but anyway, you are. Before we finish on Port Purple, it is interesting because this is a club, having lived in Adelaide, that will have always based themselves on zero tolerance of poor performance.
Yeah.
Like zero.
Yep.
And so what they're doing is they're saying, well, okay, we don't want to lose this bloke, so we'll re-sign him. But I reckon there'd be some old curmudgeons around that joint who'd be mumbling into the froth of their beer at the minute.
Oh, you're right, Jim, because what David Koch...
Curmudgeons.
Said at the start of the year was just that, which obviously angered Ken Hinckley. That was, we're not going to accept another year of failing to make finals. They made finals, but they lost their first final. The old Port Adelaide way would not have
In the day, they had zero tolerance for anything. Now, maybe with 18 teams and all the new landscape, you can't be as cut and dried as the old days, but they will have some rumblings around the place.
And just
before
we move off Gold Coast, and whether you like it or not, the interest levels that they had in two coaches who were already under contract for 2018 has resulted in fresh contracts for those two men, Chief. Brad Scott before Ken Hinckley.
And also Gold Coast, did we hear the other day that Jake Rawlings is in also the line?
Jade? Yeah. Jade. He certainly was in the mix, Bill. I'm not hearing his name as strongly as the other ones we have had from the outset, they being Kingsley, Dew and Barker, probably in the reverse order into which I... He's part of the mix.
Yeah, I got it.
I wonder if Barker and Dew, I believe, have broken away.
Do you think those clubs warrior all of a sudden thought, gee, there's... We don't really want to go down the path of having to find a new coach. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know.
Yeah, I do, because there's question marks on both, aren't there? I mean, given that Brad Scott's been there now 8 years, going into a ninth, and Ken Hinckley's been there five, going into a sixth. They're already locked away for the 2018 season. Jim's given a depth of detail as to why North would have done it. But, yeah, I would have let both those contracts play out, Chief. I know that creates its own dramas as that year unfolds. We saw it with Nathan Buckley. You know, the narrative gets taken away from the club's control, but... I would have thought, given the history of those two men at those clubs and the way things have panned out, that it would have been right to let it go. But look, both clubs' boards have decided that's it, and we're snapping decisions now.
What are you seeing in Adelaide, Chief? This is going to be, both games are enormous, obviously, the prelims. But this one in Adelaide Friday night is just enormous. Tell me about Tex Walker, Daniel Talia, and also Rory Sloane. One game for the three of them in best part of a month.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? But look, I don't think Don Pike would pay players that aren't right to go. And I don't think those players would put their hands up if they weren't right to go. They're all important players. I think it's going to be a cracking match. I'm just really looking forward to the reception that Danger's going to get. I mean, there's so much focus on him, and he's going to be the go-to man again. And the entire crowd's going to go berserk at him.
Yep.
He's going to cop it like he's never copped it before.
He will. You're right. I would love to see him go to full forward and just get everyone
to start forward.
Outside of the 50 and just see who goes to him. Yep. Wouldn't that be a lonely walk for whoever it is, maybe Jake Kelly or, I don't know, who else could they play in? Hardigan?
I'd send Talia to him. I'd send my best defender to him.
Would you?
Mm. So you would stay forward, Chief, because a lot of commentary has been not to repeat the dose of last week. So you go, do it again.
Well, I don't think the forward line is good enough to get the job done without him.
Okay.
That's the bottom line. And I think what he does, he also creates opportunities for the other forwards.
Is the midfield, though, good enough against this
opposition? Well, they were last week.
They were last week.
And you can't tell me that Adelaide's midfield is better than Sydney's midfield.
Well, I think they'd argue that.
Well, I would argue, I would say Sydney's got as good a midfield as anyone in the competition.
Cam Guthrie's been ruled out.
It seems that way, Bill. Yeah.
What about the cockatoo?
Just over the past 24 hours, and I know you're a big fan and a big advocate of this guy's talents, but Nakia Cockatoo, that talk is getting very strong, Bill.
He's flying over with the boys.
He's going regardless.
Yes.
So he's...
You think he's playing, Bill?
Well, I know the coach and the coaching staff love him. The problem is his hammies. And
Bill,
so do you...
You get mail. Is he playing, yes or no?
I honestly don't know. I'm not in the tent. I hear second and third degree things that I'm not sure about. So
it has got strong, Chief, the talk that they're going to roll the dice. The talk was that he was just about ready last week, chose not to bring him back from those soft tissue, primarily the hamstring problems
he's had. Do you
take
the chance? Do you do that with a player like him?
Well, if you're going to have to go over to Adelaide and beat the Crows, if you take the view that he's a better... in the team than without it, well, I reckon you do.
But if he does his hammy in the first quarter, you're down one.
Yeah, but at some stage, he's got to be fit to play after doing a hammy. If he's fit, he's fit.
Yeah.
It's no longer a risk. It's no bigger a risk than it is when he resumes.
He's done it twice this year.
Understand that. So they won't tick off on it. The medical department wouldn't tick off on it until they're confident. So, but if they tick off on it, it's not a risk. You play him if you think he's going to add value.
His forward line pressure is unbelievable.
Danger should ring Duck. Duck played 200 games like that, didn't he? Where the opposition just hated him and the whole focus on the ground was on him. He'd be able to give him some insights as to how to handle that. And it didn't stop the Duck from
strutting
around. And
then changed clubs and it was probably even exacerbated you.
Even worse.
But they will go hard.
Similar swagger.
Yeah, he didn't change
Danger's
that.
Danger's got nice swagger too. And he won't change that.
He won't mind getting booed by 50,000. In fact, he'll wear that as a badge of honour.
Totally agree.
Do you think there is any cut through, Jim, at all to what penetrates that confidence? We asked him last week and he sort of said it didn't.
Well, those two, Duck and Danger, and Shane Warne was the same beast in my view, Chief. The more anger that was pointed in their way, the better they got. It was actually counterproductive as a crowd to give it to them. We're going to take a break more with not only the Chief but Purple Midweek Rub after this.
This is the Midweek Rub.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
You're listening to the Midweek Rub for AEG Power Tools on Triple M. James Brayshaw with Billy Brownless, Jason Dunstall and Damien Barrett.
Talking about the reception that Danger will get when he goes to Adelaide. I don't get the feeling Brett Delidio will get the same reception this weekend. I don't know. They seem to have a softer spot for him, the Tigers.
No, I don't know.
There'll be 90,000.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be worse, Jim.
I don't know. I don't get that
What's
vibe.
At stake, Jim? A grand final berth.
Oh, no, of course.
So they will launch unmercifully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't... Was his exit as sort of vitriolic as Danger's?
No. No, it wasn't. But I'm not feeling it's going to be any less volume. And because there's going to be double the numbers, it'll actually double the volume in the end. So
you might be right, you know.
Yeah. I don't think it'll worry him either, though. He's wired. He's not like Dangerfield. No one is. But I don't think too much perturbs him off field.
And he probably needs to get a kick.
Yes, it's been a slow build coming back. I thought he did some good things last week, but he needs to step up another gear to make sure he contributes on
Do you play him off halfback again, Chief, as was done for most of the game last week?
Yeah, I think that's the right spot for him.
Yep.
I really do.
How much does
he use the ball well?
Last year's loss in a prelim inspire them this week, or does it mean nothing?
Last year's last year. I don't think you can play too much about that. There's another big opportunity ahead of them. The issue they've got is GWS has only played 11 times at the G since they've been in the comp. They've won one game, and that was 3 years ago. So in the back of your mind, there's no great confidence going to the G and actually thinking, oh, we have success here. So they've got a couple of hurdles they've got to get over, the Giants. And it's the biggest crowd by 30,000 they've played in front of as well.
Yeah.
Stevie?
Well, you tell us, Bill.
No, well, the only way he won't play is how his fitness. Fitness and his knee. And he didn't train today when the cameras were around.
Yeah, he came on after they left. Again, my read of it too, Bill, is, and unfortunately it's not an update on the situation because we don't know how he pulls up. But it will be reliant upon the recovery from this session today. But you're right. I mean, you take form out of the issue now, don't you, given the six goals we'll kick last week. And as Chief said a couple of moments ago off air, that seven votes from the coaches vote, Chief, which means both gave him votes, despite people putting down the performance. But, Jim, I mean, he kicked six goals
six in
a semi-final. I don't care what people say about the manner in which they came and when they came. It's six goals in a final.
I'm totally with you.
Only elite people do that.
No, exactly. As Chief knows.
Chief. And
grand finals, Chief, that number.
Who else?
Bill works Chief. In bigger numbers than that. We're talking grand finals, Bill. Chief rolled off three sixes, I think, in his four.
Did you? I think Greg did.
Two sixes in a seven.
Two sixes.
Greg Deer got you 1 year.
Two sixes in a seven.
Greg Deer got you 1 year, didn't he?
Paul Deer.
Paul Deer got a medal. What was your best haul in a GF?
Oh, me and Abler kicked 11.
What was your best haul individually?
Four.
Not bad, Bill.
Four.
Which year?
A four, a three, a two, and a... Two.
Did you kick four in 89?
No, 94.
94.
Yeah, when we got beaten too. Best player.
When you took that mark at halftime? Was that one you took at halftime?
The hanger and converted. Hey, Mark Leishman, you two. You love your guy. How good was that? Isn't it great seeing a bloke that's not 100% fit, carrying a bit of a guts, and a good Aussie bloke, and just cleaning up all the good golfers?
He's laid back, but he's got himself in the mix now, into the top five for the big FedEx payoff.
Yeah, good.
What about that?
And don't worry, his man Matty Kelly too, who's equally as warnable bogan, the man on his bag, he'll be riding him like a bull. Because if he gets 10 mil, Matty gets the greatest payday of all time.
What do they get? 10%?
Easy to go wire to wire.
Right? Oh, no.
And win by five.
And that quality field, too. Yeah, if you look at the blokes he's playing against, they are the best in the business. So he is a superstar, Mark. He's had a ripping year, actually. Not just this last little bit. His whole year, he's been wonderful.
Yeah, just to tick over 2 mil, the check for that one.
Yeah, good.
Well done. Hey, now, what happens to the Eagles? I see here today that release West Coast veterans Mark Lacroix and Eric McKenzie will play on next year. I thought Lacroix's nearly done. I thought it might put a fork in him.
I thought on what I saw this year too, Bill, that was the case. There's clearly a soft spot for him from the footy club, and obviously Adam Simpson has signed off on that. But I thought what you just said, that 2017 might have been enough for him.
Yeah, they've signed on for a one-year deal. What about Sydney? What happens there? What do you do with Sydney, Chief?
Sydney, I think, are okay. The only issue they've got is Kurt Tippett. That to me is the only big issue they've got, because their age profile outside of that's pretty good. Apart from, look, Heath Grundy's been there for a long time and he keeps doing a great job, but they've got players coming in underneath him. Kurt Tippett's the one sort of dead weight they've got, if that makes sense. Look, it's not his fault he's getting paid that much, but he's getting double, you know, what his value is.
Would you clear him out just to clear a portion of his salary, Chief? And you have to look at it that way because no club will take on the full $800,000 that he's owed.
Yeah. It's a difficult one. Have they got an extra big man behind Sinclair and...
As in Iraq, you're talking... Because Aaliyah's the other one that we haven't seen much.
Well, he's more defensive.
No, I know, he's more defensive.
Is there another tall...
Look, I don't know off the top of the head, Chief.
Because if one of those gets injured, then you need Tippett. But you don't want a $900,000 backup, do you?
Yeah. No.
That's the problem.
Mm. Yeah.
Getting back to West Coast, Chief, what interests me with them is with Pritis and Mitchell coming out, and admittedly Mitchell's only played the 1 year, their midfield looks very light on to me.
Ordinary.
So they and I don't know what they've got by way of drafting recently that could come in and contribute in that part of the ground, but you'd got to think they're going to be very, very active.
I think it's a very average midfield. Marston hasn't lived up to, I think he was number three draft pick. He just seems to be an average sort of midfielder.
Gaff's an outsider.
A good one.
Shuey's
a quality player. No problems there.
Yep.
Hutchings is a role player.
What about the kid Duggan?
Duggan's been around for a while. Probably going to get more opportunities now, but Dom Sheed, again, is a very blue-collar, solid average midfielder, I think. So, yeah, they're lacking a little bit of quality. We spoke about it on the couch on Monday night. I reckon West Coast are in the position to do a real good renovation of their list because the age profile says let's tip, you know, six or eight of them out that are all at the back end.
Yep.
And you might have to take a step backwards. The only issue is you need to commit to your coach before you can make that decision. And the jury, I think their jury's still out on the coach, even though he's got a year to go.
He's got 2 years to go, Chief.
Has he got 2 years?
Yeah, so that makes that decision even more complicated, I would have thought, in the context
of
which
you
present
it. So if you're going to take a step back, all of a sudden you have a couple of ordinary years. You'd want to have an understanding with the coach that you're not going to hold that against him as long as you can see the development of
clear
the next generation. Yeah, exactly right.
Well, they're going to have to, I reckon, because if you look at that part of the ground, and that part of the ground is more and more in footy becoming the only part that matters. If you're behind in that part of the ground, and as I say, I don't know enough about their 18 to 20-year-olds, but if they don't have any of that coming through, Chief, then they could have some years of pain.
And I'm a bit like Warrior. To be brutally honest, I know he's been a fantastic contributor, but I would have found a way to wind up Mark Lacroix because I just think he's getting slower. He's going to be slower again next year. There's zero defensive pressure coming from him. He's been a quality player and a great contributor, and they love him as a character around the club and as a leader. He's been terrific. But, you know, at some stage you've got to wrap time on some of these players.
They've got Nick Nat coming back too.
Yeah, but he's not going to carry the whole club.
No, I know that, but it's a handy ruckman.
Return.
Speaking of ruckman at Sydney, they've got, of course, Naismith. He's 206 centimetres, big boy, Callum Sinclair. And they've got Darcy Cameron, who hasn't played a game yet, from Claremont. So he's 203.
Superstars come out of that joint.
Yeah. Well, if they had enough confidence in him as a developing ruckman, then I'd make a decision on Tippett based on that.
Mm. All right. Well, let's get some winners from you two before we let you go. Chief, Adelaide Geelong.
Adelaide.
Purple.
Cats.
Ooh, Cats.
Richmond GWS.
Warrior. Cats.
Yeah.
Big upset.
Not really. Richmond for me, the Tigers. Look, GWS were terrific last week and everyone's raving about them, but they played witches' hats.
Yep.
They ain't playing witches' hats this week.
I've got a feeling it's going to be closer than people think.
So do Jim. I think it'll be close this game.
Yeah.
But I think Richmond can get to
just it. Think on the body of what we've seen in 23 weeks of home and away and then one final, they just do the right things when you need to, so they'll get there.
Giants for me.
Let's just...
The two Gs win.
You're going the two upsets.
Bloody oath. I went with the two Gs last week, the Giants and the Cats, and that was correct. Amundo,
let's just hope, Chief, that it's not GWS and Adelaide, and we get an Adelaide GWS grand final.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
I know we go out to some magnificent regional cities, but we are selfish. And in this town, Chief, we want a Melbourne team involved in the granny.
Even more so. I mean, Geelong have been brilliant, but could you imagine what Melbourne would be like if the Tigers are in it? This joint will go through the roof.
It's actually scary, Chief. Actually, that
it'll be fantastic.
Geelong v Richmond would be great.
No, I'd rather Adelaide-Richmond. I think it'll be a more entertaining game.
Oh, hello. He's just wiped your mob off, Bill.
Well, I just think it'll be a more attacking, exciting, fun-to-watch game than your boys. Bill, I'm sick of them anyway.
And corporately, Jim, which is the way the AFL thinks itself.
Exactly right.
That's the one they want.
If you got some tickets, you want Geelong-Richmond.
Sam Doherty in tomorrow. Another one of Bill's quizzes, which is quite extraordinary.
Who am I?
Oh, no. We announced the winner of Mr. September.
Yes.
And apparently there have been some demands to hear the best moments of the rush hour.
Who's demanded
from
that?
From who?
That's what I'm looking for.
From Bill.
Jason Dunstall.
Oh, I'm going to be interested to hear, A, who's demanded it, and B, what they are. Anyway, let's get with this.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. Melbourne Brick. 30% off first quality 500 by 500 Melbourne stone pavers. Offer ends soon.
Now, someone said you were good yesterday, Bill. Did you work a bit blue?
No, just a good joke.
And good a bit blue.
And a bit blue?
Yes.
No, well, it depends how you read it and hear it.
Righto. What about today's one, Bill?
What did the boy with no arms get for Christmas, Chief?
I've actually heard this. If it's the same joke, it's not a good one to be telling on.
Love and kisses. No, he didn't. He hasn't unwrapped his presents yet. Now,
as I said, I wouldn't have that on there.
A man was stranded on a desert island for 10 years, Chief. One day, a beautiful girl swims to the shore in a wetsuit. How lucky is that, by the way? Hi, am I ever happy to see you? Hi, she says. It seems like you've been here a long time. How long's it been since you had a dart? It's been 10 years, he said. With this information, the girl unzips a slot in her arm and pulls out a smoke. Oh, thank you very much, as he has a drag. So tell me, how long has it been since you've had a drink? It's been 10 years. With that, the girl unzips a zipper over on this side of the wetsuit and pulls out a flask of whiskey and gives him man a drink, Chief. Oh, thank you very much. That is magnificent. So you imagine Chiefy's having a drink of whiskey and a dart. How good is this?
Has that one for 10 years, Chief.
Yeah, 10 years. Finally, the girl starts to unzip the front of her wetsuit, Chiefy, and asks the man.
Why are you rubbing yourself, Billy?
So tell me, how long's it been since you played around? Oh, my God, don't tell me you've got a set of golf clubs in there.
Oh, no.
What do you want?
I reckon conservatively 30 years ago.
Yeah, he thought she had a set of golf clubs.
I get
that. Yeah, but yeah. She was, I think, heading for the other. Yeah.
Heading for what?
Well, just a bit
Chief,
of bit playing of around.
How Chief. Did you assess that joke, Chief?
That was cricket stuff. the chirping of crickets is the only thing I can say.
You'll use it. You'll use it with your Hawthorn mates when you get together.
I'll have forgotten it before I've left the studio.
Thank you, boys. Good to see you both.
See you next Wednesday. Only one to go.
Nice.
One to go, you beauty.
Mighty joke, Bill.
It's Beer Tember at Thirsty Camel. Hump Club members can take $10 off any slab of beer. Join and redeem. ThirstyCamel.com.au.